This is the Be Memorable podcast. My name's Ty Erickson. I'll be your host. We'll be talking to the best of the best on how to be different, be unique, stand out from the crowd, and overall be memorable. In this episode, we speak with sales and leadership expert Jason Kaywood with Sandler Training. We talk about finding what works to grow and maintain your business. Let's get him on. Welcome back to the Be Memorable podcast. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. Always appreciate the invite.
Yeah, so we've got a little bit different format, and I know we've talked a little bit about this, but kind of a little bit more of a deep dive in what people are actually doing with their business. I thought it could be a little bit more applicable for the business owners and the listeners that we have. They're always interested in what are other people doing and finding success with, especially in that Be Memorable department of the sales, marketing, branding type of thing. And I know your sector is really on that sell side, but I know the branding and the marketing obviously plays into that because you've got to grow and maintain your business as well. So if you will, just take a minute, if you tell us a little bit about your business specifically, and then also if you'll kind of just give a little bit of background on Sandler as well. I mean, I know they go hand in hand, but I'm sure there's a little bit of variation between, you know, different Sandler locations. So.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate that. So yeah, let me start with Sandler. Sandler's been around for 53 years, largest sales and sales leadership training organization in the world. Been around, seen a lot, and just are continually diving into the world of sales and sales leadership, how to really maximize that component of a business, right? Which we all know, if you don't sell anything, nothing else happens. So Sandler itself, been around a long time, great place, great organization. I myself have had my Sandler franchise a little over 3 years.
Okay.
And you hit it on the head. One of the quickest learnings I had coming in here is that, yeah, you could line up 10 different Sandler franchises. And even though the Sandler content's all the same,
yeah,
they all might have a little bit different focus about maybe the size of companies they're going after, or the industries they want to focus on, or what they want to do with these clients once they get them. So with me personally, as you can imagine, the first 3 years, I've tried a lot of different things out and done a lot of different stuff. And I've got some great clients now that are anywhere from individuals just investing in themselves,
yeah,
all the way up to large organizations that are really trying to develop and maximize their sales teams.
Yeah.
And so me personally, moving forward, what I'm really focusing on, and I'll have a conversation with anybody, but I love the idea of working with, you know, larger organizations and doing a deep dive and creating the opportunity to work with them for years.
Mm-hmm.
I have some colleagues, they've had clients for 20, 25 years.
Wow.
And so I personally love that idea of creating that longstanding relationship versus constantly churning over new clients every year or two.
Yeah.
So I've right now, you know, being in business 3 years, I've got some clients that are 18 months, 2 years, 2.5 years. And on the front end of creating those long-term relationships. And I've really enjoyed that. And that'll continue to be my focus moving forward.
Awesome. If you will dive a little bit deeper, and I know you kind of brushed on like the training, but what are some of the different trainings that you, that you offer through Sandler?
I appreciate that. So listen, when we all think about sales training, mm-hmm. typically we're thinking about, hey, what can I say? What's that script that's just going to crush everything?
Right.
And listen, okay, I understand why people think that. Or we watch some movie or TV show and you got the slick salesperson that's just saying all the right stuff. But one thing I'm grateful for with what we do and where I've seen benefit, and as a reminder, you know, I was a client for 12 years, so I lived this myself first.
Yeah.
But we look at the three different areas that are most critical, which is our attitude and our mindset, the behaviors that we're engaging in, and then the technique, right? The attitude and the belief is why. Why are we doing something?
Yeah.
The behaviors is what we're doing, and then the technique is how we're doing it. So, you know, at a entry level, I start working with people because they've got a sales team in place. They're doing fine. They're doing great. And they just want to find every area possible to do better. Yeah. They want to find that edge. You know, you and I, we're sports guys. We talk about this a lot.
Yeah.
It's the difference between the, you know, the number three draft pick that's out of the league in 3 years versus Tom Brady, who's got seven Super Bowls, but he's looking for number eight.
Yeah.
I'll work with these companies. They're trying to find every angle possible of how to improve. And so sometimes, for example, they're doing fine, but maybe they do have a damaging belief that they need to work for. They've got some mindset that is holding them back or keeping them from their potential. Maybe their mindset's okay, but they're not engaging in the most effective behaviors. You know, when I talk to a company or a salesperson that after years is still cold calling, that makes me scratch my head a little bit.
Right.
Cold calling works, and it's the least effective form of prospecting.
Yeah.
So yeah, you might have to start there, but how can you engage in some different behaviors? You know, asking for introductions, networking, you know, utilizing LinkedIn properly. So we might, you know, look at some behaviors. And then another situation is, yeah, maybe they got a good mindset. Maybe they're doing the right behaviors, but how they're doing them, there's room for improvement. And so that's where we'll focus on technique. But what I found is typically people come in with one thing in mind, and then they realize, oh boy, we've got a lot of improvement opportunities in a lot of different areas. And we start to look at all sorts of possibilities of how they can improve. So yeah, kind of the entry level way that I'll engage with people is around training and development specifically. And then the other end of the spectrum is I will take a deeper look at, hey, how are you actually recruiting and interviewing and hiring your salespeople? How are you onboarding them? What type of accountability are you setting up? What type of training and coaching is happening when I'm not there from the leadership?
Yeah.
You know, what type of, you know, does leadership really know what matters most to their team from a personal level? You know, and kind of making sure that we're all on the same page about those things. So that's kind of the spectrum of how I engage with folks, you know, from one side to the other.
Who do you find who's usually your contact? I mean, I know every business differs and it's business owner self, but like, have you found a commonality of like, here's usually who I speak to in your, let's say, perfect client size? Like, is there a certain contact or a certain person that you're normally speaking with in a company to get that wants to, or that you get on board to take on the education and the learning?
Yeah, at this stage in the game with who I'm pursuing, it's still typically the business owner.
Okay.
Right? If if I'm talking to companies that have even up to, you know, 10 salespeople, I can still, you know, the business owner is still going to be heavily involved in making that decision. Now, as you mentioned, you start getting up to 25, 30, 50, 100 salespeople. Mm-hmm. All right, now you're probably talking about a CRO, a CEO. Because it's just a different structure of the organization. But right now, my main focus is still connecting with those business owners.
And then what are you finding as far as what type of companies are you speaking with? Obviously, it applies to any company that's out there, but do you have yourself a niche? Is there a demographic? Like who, I mean, two questions. Who is kind of your common client? What type of business? And then maybe on the flip side, who are your dream clients? Like, who are you looking to work with right now?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So it's right now, I think just as a sign of the times, I probably have a little bit more in tech than any other specific industry.
Okay.
Not that I searched that out, but it's just kind of where it is. But I do have a wide array. I've got a trucking company that I work with. I've got an accounting firm that I work with and all across the board as well. So right now where I'm at, I'm less concerned about a particular industry or focus of the organization I might work with. And I'm more concerned about their mindset and desire around growth. And I don't mean revenue, I mean themselves. My best clients are the ones that are just committed to applying what they're learning. They're the ones that are, and when I say best, I mean in terms of their results, right? Their ROI. I love every client that I work with, but the ones that have had the highest ROI, They are calling me outside of our sessions together, asking me questions. They're sending me recordings of their sales calls that they've done virtually to review and go over with them. They're checking in on things. They're saying, "Hey, Jason, I got a call coming up. Can we role play real quick?" So yeah, those are the types of clients that I get even more excited about. And again, I love working with anybody that's interested in doing it.
Sure.
But, you know, there's a handful that just do the extra. And I've been on the phone with it 6:30 in the morning, you know, 7 o'clock at night. Cause they need some help and I know they're going to do something with it. So as I get out there, on the front end of my interactions with prospects, I try to be crystal clear about what it's going to take to get the most out of our engagement together and what my expectations are. And of course I explain my expectations will result in them getting what they're looking for. Yeah. But that's over the past 3 years, that's probably the biggest shift I've made, is getting a little pickier about who I want to engage with from that perspective.
I like that. What about if somebody, say, was, I wouldn't even say, I guess a good example, a thing on the top of my mind is, if somebody was listening to this that maybe wasn't aware, I'm sure there's plenty of companies that aren't aware of what you do or the offerings similar to what you do, right? Or yep. No.
You trust me, as long as Sandler's been around and as many people that we've helped and continue to help,
yeah,
many people have not heard of us. But even take Sandler out of it for a second. Let me say this. More often than not, companies are not engaging in any outside help or guidance or coaching.
Yeah.
Right? They're just kind of, and that doesn't mean they're not making any progress. No, they're making progress. They're selling things. They're you know, tightening up their operational processes. They're doing fine.
Yeah.
But I've just come to believe that none of us, myself included, can reach our full potential without the proper outside guidance and help.
Yeah.
And so for any company out there, for whatever reason, if you're not engaging in something, I would look at that as a goal for the next year. And again, it might be something that's more around, how's your company structured from an operational standpoint, right? Yeah. Like EOS is a phenomenal organization. I'm actually a client of, right? So that's on the operational side. For business owners, Strategic Coach, that's another great organization out there. I'm a client of theirs as well. So maybe it's the business owner needs to invest in some ways to become a better business owner. So at a minimum, I just share with people, please give yourself the gift of investing in yourself to develop at a faster rate, because the more we invest in ourselves and the higher that we can get in our profession, the better we can serve everyone around us.
Yeah.
Whether it's people on our team, whether it's our clients, quite often I'm sharing things with my clients that I learn from things I'm investing in.
Right.
Which you is, know, so it's a big thing that sadly, it's the minority of people out there that are willing to invest time and money and energy into outside help.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. What do you find is the best way for someone to get started with your company? And I'm asking that maybe in a different light than the way it comes across. Like, are people filling out online forms? Like, where does the rubber meet the road? If somebody wants to work with you, what does that look like? Is it an email to you? Is it a phone call? Is it they go online and they register and pay? Or is, like, what does that onboarding process look like?
Sure. Well, right, me personally, the vast majority of my clients have come from networking and introductions.
Okay.
Right? It's, people that I've gotten to know over time, and we build a relationship and some trust, and then they might come across somebody that could utilize my help, and they just facilitate a conversation. Sometimes, I might have somebody find something online or, something like that, but usually there's a human-to-human connection that brings it all together. And it's, again, as I mentioned, in the idea of sales and prospecting, my guidance to anybody is find what is working for you best and do more of that. Mm-hmm. Right? As you can imagine, in my first 3 years, I've tried a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And I've just come to realize, no, those two areas, networking and asking for introductions, has been my best prospecting effort by a mile.
Yeah.
And so it's just, yeah, how can I do that? And I've not maximized that yet. So there's no need for me to try anything else. But yeah, and now listen, speaking in general terms, you can, you know, throw a rock 6 feet and hit some sort of coaching company out there, right? Coaching and training company. You can go online and you can look up all sorts of stuff. One thing I caution people on is we have more free information available than ever before in the history of the world, right?
Yep.
Which is a beautiful thing. And it can cause us to think that that's good enough.
Yeah.
That just listening to books, just listening to podcasts, that, listen, that's better than nothing. And I do a lot of that for myself.
Yeah.
But there's just another level when you're putting your time, your ego, your money on the line with somebody else. I have a great friend and colleague who gave this analogy for those out in the world that like to golf. Listen, if you want to get better, you absolutely could go on YouTube and watch some videos that are going to help you to a certain extent.
Right.
But if you're serious about reaching your potential, you hire a coach.
Yeah.
Right. You take lessons and you get someone that can see you from 360 degrees and just put together a solid plan and point that out. So, again, there's just something happens in the brain, I think, when we start to put some money on the line. And something somebody told me years ago that I really appreciated was they said, somebody told them, hey, have a goal of investing 2% of your gross income every year in personal development.
Mm-hmm.
Just whatever it is. So if you're, you know, you're making 100 grand a year, there's 2000 bucks. How could you invest $2,000 in your development? And so on and so forth. So for those out there that they're doing something, I applaud you. And how can you grow from that? How can you challenge yourself to do something above and beyond what you've been doing the last handful of years?
And I think that the biggest void that I've seen in people that have retained knowledge is the real challenge. And I think where a lot of us get paralyzed is in the application. Where I can, like you're saying, and I know we always talk about sports, but I can watch a million videos on, you know, how to cut or how to cut in sports or how to pivot or how to jump higher. But when you've actually got to go start doing it and how it applies to you and your form and all that stuff, the challenge really becomes, and again, where we get paralyzed is just in that application. How are we applying the knowledge that we have? And then on top of that, are we even applying it? Like a lot of us gain knowledge, but we don't apply it because we really don't know how. And it's a coach that can come in and say, okay, I can see what you're doing. I've seen this before. This is what I do. Here's where we can start. Here's how we can start applying it. And then going forward, okay, now you're applying this. Now let's try applying it this. Yep. You know, here's the application. And I really think that's what's missing with people that don't have a coach is they don't know how to apply, so they don't even try.
Exactly. And
they don't know how to, whatever that was I just said.
Yeah. No, exactly. Exactly. So let me be upfront and honest about this. Man, I struggled with that myself for many, many years. I was so focused on information consumption.
Yep.
Right? Just constantly listening to something, reading to something, talking to somebody. And I'll be very upfront. A lot of it did not get applied because I was so focused on hearing the next thing. Right? So personally, I've been consciously trying to consume a little bit less to free up more time to apply.
Yeah.
Right? To apply what I'm learning. And so I'm right there with everybody on that one. And then I'll tell you, in my coming up on 16 years total that I've been involved in Sandler, that is the single biggest differentiator in what people get out of it or not. It's their commitment to application. And I actually tell my clients right out of the gate, it is not about applying everything the first time that you hear it.
Yep.
The key is constantly applying something.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, you know, you were asking me earlier kind of, you know, how I engage with people. Well, another big factor is I won't work with somebody unless they can commit to at least a year.
Mm.
Because we all know intellectually, long-term behavior change takes time.
Yeah.
How many times have we gone to a weekend seminar or we've gone had a week training and man, we're excited and it probably was even great information.
Yep.
But then we just leave it by the wayside. right? How many people, what is it? It's, you know, middle of January. How many of these gyms are still chock full with new membership folks that in 2 weeks won't be there?
Yeah.
So that's another thing is, you know, constantly coming back again and again. So I have clients, they might hear a concept at the most recent training and they're like, man, that's great, but I'm focused on something else right now. So I'm going to put that thing on the shelf. And then when they hear it again, they're in a different space. They're in a place where they can implement it. So I say, all right, great. Hey, this first thing over here is in a good spot. Let me pull this idea off the shelf and put that in play. And so that ongoing reinforcement is critical. It's the decision initially to apply things, to try things, to fall on your face, to get a bloody nose, to come back up and work on it. But then just that constant ongoing reinforcement training, which if we're honest with ourselves, that never ends.
Yeah.
That never ends.
What do you do if you find someone that maybe knows they need your business, but they decide not to do it? Like what advice would you give to somebody moving forward if they, you know, you go through this, I don't want to call it a spiel, but you go through the value and people see the value in having a coach and they're like, ah, no, just not this time. What advice would you give to those people that just feel like they don't need it?
Well, first of all, this is one of the things we teach, and I believe it wholeheartedly. As sales professionals, it's not our job to sell anything to anybody. It is our job to help them make a great decision. And what I mean by that is we've all been a prospect or a customer of a very pushy salesperson that was trying to get to a specific outcome. Mm-hmm. And it's awful, right? Nobody likes that feeling. So what I've come to realize is, look, of course, in my heart of hearts, I feel that any salesperson or sales team, I can help.
Yep.
But if they don't believe that at the moment for whatever reason, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I think.
Right.
If they're not ready, whether they're scared, whether they're fine just kind of doing what they've always done, whether they don't think they have the ability to make the investment, whatever it is. And so first of all, I always try to be respectful and just say, hey, if that's your decision, so be it. And look, I might, depending on the conversations we've had, I might give them a couple things to think about moving forward. But I've come to realize I'm not the right fit for everybody. Not yeah. everybody is qualified. Not everybody's in a position to say yes. But at a minimum, I try to treat them with the respect they deserve. Because listen, first of all, I've had some people come back later and we reconnect. They're like, yep, I'm ready to go. But even if that doesn't happen, I don't ever want anyone to feel bad if they're saying no.
Right.
You know, that's the whole point of it. It's like, look, if you're not ready, then let's not do it. I only want to work with people that are 100% convinced that working together will be a benefit for them. And if they're not there yet, that's okay. We don't have to push the issue and we can move on down the road.
Yeah, timing's everything. What have you seen? We talked a bit about application. What are you seeing with companies? And, you know, this may be a little bit of gloating, but what difference have you seen with companies that are using, that you're working with, that are using your services?
So I'm grateful you're asking the question, and I will give you some very specific answers here, but I want to say the reason why these numbers I'm about to share happened is because of their commitment to making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I looked at this probably, I don't know, a month ago. Right now, my top clients in terms of ROI to them, not growth, ROI, that is an apples to apples comparison, right?
Yeah.
ROI, my number one, it's 454x ROI. Number two is 43x ROI. And number three is 35x. So for every dollar those companies are investing with me, they're gaining $454, $43, $35. And again, I give them all the credit in the world because they are committed to the application. They're committed to trying the hard things. They're committed to getting as much help from me as they can, all of these things. So, and listen, I've got a lot of other great examples that just happens to be on top of my mind because I looked at it fairly recently. And it's, you know, and that could be anywhere from, I hear, my sales cycle was reduced 40%, right? I've got another client, been with me about a year. Last year compared to the year before, they sent out about 30% fewer proposals, but their revenue was up 50% over the year before.
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's a 32-year-old company. So they've been doing things a certain way, great organization, but you know, so little things like that. So that's a big thing I try to do with anybody I work with is say, hey, what are the black and white tangible data points that we can track to see if and how well this is working for you?
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad you shared that. You know, in multiples on their ROI, because that's really what matters.
Yep.
You know, that they're doing so much, it's what return they're actually getting in the investment that they're making in themselves. And that's not even including time and, you know, future knowledge and all that stuff. So that's awesome. What about, so kind of around on just in your business, what is branding? How are you yourself? Obviously Sandler has its brand, but you personally, Jason, has a brand as well, with, you know, together with Sandler. How are you branding yourself?
Well, you hit it on the head. First of all, I'm very fortunate with all of the work that Sandler Corporate has put in over those 50 plus years, right? I very easily could have tried to start my own thing, but I knew it would never have been as good as what Sandler is continually creating.
Yeah.
So that right there is huge. And I feel very fortunate. Again, as a franchise owner, you know, some of what I do goes back to Sandler Corporate, and every dollar I pay to them is a fraction of what I get in return, right? So that's a huge thing. So for me personally, that's where my focus has been, is more on, all right, well, what do I bring to the table?
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you, man. We call it head trash. I still have some head trash around various things, you know, digital marketing or social media and all this. And it's my own issue. It's not anybody else. Those are amazing tools that can be used wonderfully. And so I have not spent a lot of time there. I've got some stuff out there, don't get me wrong. But where I try to really put all my time and energy is into the clients that I get to work with, right? How can I invest in them so much that that becomes the brand, to use that term? That when I have, you know, when I have other people that talk to clients of mine or interact with them, they will hear what has taken place. They will get to hear how I've taken care of them, or as soon as people become my clients, they experience that. And so that has been so much of my focus, is just, you know, someone that exceeds the expectations of anybody that works with me. And I'm not saying I do it all the time. I've made many mistakes, but that's really where the bulk of my focus has been, is because let's also be honest about it. There are so many paths someone could go to hire a coach or a trainer.
Yep.
And man, there's a lot of bad paths to go down.
Yep.
You know, nowadays, somebody literally can go on LinkedIn and call themselves a coach immediately.
Right.
With little to no experience. So I want to make sure that if somebody's chosen to make that investment, time, energy, money, all those things, that they are continually thankful that they've done it and blown away and getting what they're looking for out of it. And just, this is going to sound corny, but like, just being a good person.
Yeah.
You know, just caring about people. Yeah. I'll share this briefly. Our company mission, yes, I love talking about revenue and sales and businesses and growth and all that, but our mission is actually to help our clients accomplish their most important personal goals as a result of better performance in their business. So it's not just about the extra sales or the extra commission or the extra revenue, but no, what can that help you do?
Yeah.
Right? Is it supporting a foundation that you want to support? Is it helping out a family member? Is it going on a trip of your dreams? Is it paying for college? So I would have to say I've never thought about it that way, but now that we're talking, that's probably another component of the brand we have created here with our company, is really digging into and uncovering the personal goals of the clients that we work with. Of course, if they're comfortable sharing, right? Nobody has to share, but that's a big focus of ours, because I love that more than anything else. I love hearing those victories and those stories of what people have been able to do because they are now selling more effectively, or they're growing their company more effectively. That's the part I love most.
Well, and that's why I ask, because there's definitely a stereotype out there of you know, what does branding look like for me? What does marketing look like? What does sales look like? I mean, for some people, branding and marketing is the same thing. For some people, they call sales marketing, and for everybody is different. And that's why for me doing this podcast, I just want people to share, here's what's working for me. Here's the way it, because that's the other thing is in the application of any of the people get caught up with maybe what's the norm or what's that stereotype of like, I got to do social media, but yet I don't know how, and I don't really want to. And I don't, you like, it's okay to find the things like you talked about earlier. It's okay to find the things that work for you and make them work. It's not everybody is growing their business on social media. Not everybody is growing their business over the phone. Not, you know, different people are doing different things. It's okay to find what works for you and what you enjoy. I get people get out of their comfort zones too, but it's okay to find what works and then, you know, focus on that, work for you to a school, and then be challenged to do something else. I hear so many people good at video, or I don't want to do a podcast, or I don't, and it's like, that's fine. You just got to find something that works. Yep. And do it.
Well, I appreciate you commenting on that, because it is a real thing. Trust me, in my 3 years, I have had those thoughts like, oh my gosh, I need to be doing so much more on social media, or look at what so-and-so is doing. Even looking at people within Sandler, looking at other Sandler colleagues and what they're doing. Yep. So it's not even like I'm comparing myself to somebody in a completely different industry. I might be seeing right. other things. And you're right. It's, yeah, I am very proud of and impressed with people that have maximize their opportunity through social media. I think that's amazing. And I'm equally impressed by people that are doing what they want to do with their business and you've never even heard of them.
Yep.
Right? They're nowhere to be found on social media. So I'm so thankful you brought that up, that yeah, try some things, see what's going to work best for you. And you know, there's going to be some trial and error, but no, we don't have to be doing everything. Right. And as you know, as the business grows, things can change. Like I said, right yep. now, I'm growing as much as I can handle without a massive presence on social media. As time goes on, that might change, right? Yep. Maybe next year in 2024, that might become a focus of mine. But right now, I've just tried to be crystal clear about what I'm trying to accomplish and the most effective and efficient ways to get there. And when I do that, I'm in a much better spot just all around, mentally, physically, energy-wise. All that stuff. So no, I appreciate you saying that, because there's a million ways to build a successful company, and we don't all have to do all of those things, just figuring out what works best in our world.
Yeah. And it's really about, you know, like you were saying, helping people achieve their goals. What is each individual or team or group, like, what are you looking to accomplish? Like if your goal is to be, you know, an investor, then yeah, you got to figure out how to do. Yeah, if you're trying to not be in the limelight and you want to grow organically as opposed to, you know, generating, having tons of, like, what are you looking to do, you know, instead of what is, that's a...
Exactly. And I, you know, a few years ago, I heard a podcast. It was a coach of like Olympic athletes and high performing business folks and all this stuff. And you know, we've all heard this concept that time is the most valuable resource, right? And I preach that my whole adult life. Well, this particular coach, he said, that's actually not the case.
Yeah.
He said, energy is our most valuable resource. Mm-hmm. He said, you could plan out your day perfectly, but if you don't have the energy to do what you need to do, it doesn't matter. Yeah. And dude, my head exploded when I heard that, but I've really focused on that ever since. And so same thing here is, we've only got so much energy throughout the day.
Yep.
And sometimes people seem to focus their energy on, again, becoming that influencer when they don't even really have that much experience. And I don't mean to be rude about that or picky about that, but it seems like they're so much more concerned about building their brand than actually serving their clients.
Yep.
And so me personally, that's where, like, you know, where I've just chosen to invest my energy in serving the clients that I've got, just giving them, you know, all that they deserve and more. And what I found is that helps everything else take care of itself.
Yep. Going back to what we were talking about, and maybe this, again, some of these may mesh together for people. But I do want to just ask, like, we talked a little bit about branding. Is there anything additional that you're doing, like, on the marketing side? And I think for certain people, that would be, you know, what's being put out there, similar to whether it's handy, you know, marketing may be considered business cards, flyers when it comes to print. It may be ads. It may be whatever it may be. But maybe you can just take a minute. Maybe the sales kind of bleeds into that. But what are you doing on the sales marketing side for your business? And I know you mentioned referrals and networking and stuff like that. But maybe if you can just dive a little bit more into, like, yeah, becoming aware of what you're doing, like, how does that rubber actually meet the road? Is it the people and then you're pitching them? Is it referrals and then you're and maybe you tell me, is pitch a bad word?
Yeah. Listen, I do cringe a little at the word pitch, because you know, that could imply that I'm just, you know,
telling
doing all the good. But I know what you mean by it. So here's the thing. So every sales professional should have what we call a cookbook, which is basically a prospecting behavior plan.
Okay.
So for me, at a minimum, and this is, to me, this is more on the sales side than the marketing, but I'll give you the marketing piece here in a second.
Okay.
At a minimum, I need to have 3 networking one-to-ones a week.
Okay.
I need to ask for introductions 3 times a week. And of course, to get to those 3 networking one-to-ones, I need to schedule 3 one-to-ones a week. That is my minimum behavior. And where I got those numbers is based off of the numbers from the last 6 months of 2022.
Mm.
I looked at all of my behaviors, what that shook out to in terms of new business, average deal size, all that good stuff, which then helped me create this new plan. Now, there are other things that I'll do on top of that that are part of my behavior plan that are in addition to that. It might be a phone call each week to a former client to check in. It yeah. might be a phone call each week to an existing client to check in, right? And things like that. So I do have a clearly defined behavior plan that I execute every single week. Now, on the more traditional marketing side, we do have a newsletter. We have one for our clients and one for non-clients that goes out, right? From time to time, if a great opportunity like this today, talking to you pops up, yeah, I'm happy to do that. But I would say probably the most consistent thing we're doing is the newsletter. And then, you know, from time to time, I'll get on LinkedIn and I might comment or post something. But yeah, that is it. You know, we have gotten so laser focused on what has been providing the greatest results for us personally.
Yep.
Right. I've got colleagues, they are crushing it on social media. They're crushing it with LinkedIn. They're crushing it with, they'll do talks out in the community. Right? They might go to some association's event and talk. So there's a lot of other things going on. But for me personally, that pretty much sums up our sales and marketing efforts right now, which it may change over time.
Yeah, no, it's just always good to hear people are applying it. And then again, it also hearing maybe what people aren't doing, because everybody, like we talked about, wants to be everything to everyone. And there's so 50 million different channels that you can attack. It's okay to find something that works, stick with it, push it, grow to where you. And then the other thing that I got thinking of when you were saying that is there's probably a lot of people sitting there going, I don't know. I have no clue what my behaviors are. I'm just going out doing a bunch of stuff every single day, as many people as I can, following up with as many people. But I really don't know what's working and what's not working. I would probably say there's probably a larger percentage that are in that boat than not.
Yes. And again, this is something I look at very early on with anybody I start working with is, are you tracking your behaviors in any way, shape or form? I don't care if it's a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't have to be an actual CRM, but if they are not, that is where everything starts is, okay, let's start tracking so that we can then begin to understand the ratios. All right, in January, you made 187 cold calls, which resulted in 17 intro conversations, which then resulted in, you know, 10 discovery meetings, which resulted in 8 presentations, which resulted in 3 new clients.
Yeah.
Right? Or, hey, you sent out 562 LinkedIn, you know, so yes, if for anybody listening to this, if you or your team is not tracking that type of behavior information yet, I would highly recommend starting that as quickly as possible. That we you hit it on the head. And by the way, I've been this person too. You just think, oh, I'm just going to go out and work hard, which creates some amount of results. You're going to get something out of that.
Yeah.
In order to be just, again, so laser focused on what works. And I'm right there with you, with all these people. I get excited by the shiny nickel as much as the next guy.
Yeah.
I get excited about, oh, what about this? So at the end of last year, I talked with my team and said, hey, listen, this year, I want you to question everything I bring up that is different from this core set of things we're going to focus on. If I bring up something that's like, hey, I'm thinking about trying this or I saw this, I want you to question it as hard as you can. Not that it's not necessarily a thing we should pursue, but let's evaluate it and make sure that if we are going to deviate from what we know works, it better be for a dang good reason.
Right.
And so I'm trying to make everybody on the team aware of that as well, that we just, it's so, nowadays, it's so easy to try something new. And I've even seen that in my world. It's like every month, you know, colleagues, I'll talk to them, every month they're trying something different. And so there's just, you know, if we're tracking information and we can see where we're doing well, and then we can start to make more informed decisions and we can start to weed out the things that aren't working as well. I say this just as proof of this concept. I started my business in December of 19 and haven't made a cold call since April of 20.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I did it, made a lot of them.
Yeah.
But it was a goal of mine to get out of the cold call business as quickly as possible. And the only way I could do that was to create enough interest and potential prospects from other avenues of prospecting. Right. So if I ever need cold call again, I will. But man, I'm doing everything in my power to never do that again because other things are more effective, you know?
I'm strange, but I enjoy cold calling. I don't, for some reason, to me, it's like a sport.
Yeah.
I like connecting with new people. Like that's kind of the cool thing. Like, hey, could I start from nothing and cultivate a relationship? You know, there's something to me fun about that. I get people see it different, but I don't know why. I've always enjoyed the challenge, knowing that there could be, you know, an awesome end result. I mean, some of my best business relationships were of cold calls, and now they've been some of my closest friends and clients for over 15 years.
No, it's real. It works, man. It's there.
Yeah.
I have colleagues that close six-figure deals off of cold calls. So it definitely is there, but for me personally, that's where it's like, yeah, I know there's other things that I'm better at and want to do more and enjoy more. And so let's go down that path.
Well, that's what not two people or every business is the same. And, you know, that's what's kind of cool about doing this podcast as well. Somebody gets an opportunity to listen just what different people are doing. There's always something, you know, maybe there is somebody that's just sending out cold email, paying lead generators, and I'm doing, they're sitting there going, geez, to be honest with you, until I got into business, first I had been in sales my whole life. First time I had heard about networking and events 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm not that young. You know, I've been doing sales for going on 30 years. Like I had never heard of it. So, you know, there may be somebody goes, man, I'm just pounding the phone. Like I had no clue I could go get questions. You know, it's a real thing.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I never networked a day in my life until I started this business 3 years ago. Right?
I'm networking at least 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And but here's, I guess, Ty, here's the key of it all. You and I know people that are active in the networking community that generate little results.
Yep.
And so that's probably the underlying theme here of any of this is whatever you're going to do, how can you invest in yourself in a way that you're doing it to the best of your ability? And you and I also know people that are amazing at networking. They truly try to connect those that they can for the benefit of those two people. They're always on the lookout to help others, and they also know how to let others know how they can help them.
Yep.
Right. You know, when somebody asks them, hey, can I help you? They give a very specific answer. Hey, I'm looking for companies that are in this industry. They've got, they're doing this, da, 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 da. And so then the person who asked, it helps them turn their radar on in a different way.
Yep.
Right. Yep. So yeah, there's so many things out there. And I'll, last thing I'll say on this is I've yet to meet a company that is maximizing their referral introduction opportunities out there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So many people are leaving opportunities on the table because they're just afraid to ask. They don't ask. They forget to ask. But referral introductions are the highest yielding prospecting activities out there.
Yeah.
And so many people are just aren't doing what they could there. Right. So that's another thing I want people to think about is every time you're talking to a prospect, whether they say yes or no to you, are you asking them for an introduction? Are you asking them, hey, Ty, listen, I know this didn't make sense for us right now, but I'm curious, is there anybody else you know in your situation that could benefit from a conversation with me? Right? Worst they can say is no. But every once in a while, they're going to say, oh my gosh, I was talking to my neighbor last night. He was talking about this exact same stuff. Yeah, let me connect you with him.
Yep.
You know, so that's another big one that people leave by the wayside quite a bit.
Yeah, that's awesome. Last but not least, what are you doing? Obviously, this is the Be Memorable podcast. What are you doing to make a company memorable? Like what, you know, when it comes time, and we see this a lot where people are going out churning every day, meeting people and activity and all. And then I talk to so many people and I've talked to that guy 50 times. And when it came time to use my service, he used somebody else. And so I always want to ask people, and this is kind of the main point of the podcast, but like, what are you doing to make sure that when it comes time and somebody sitting there going, man, we got to the next level, we're missing, we can do, how are you getting people to remember?
So I'm going to answer this a little bit more general in but also in a specific way in terms of this is what I focus on and what I tell my clients to focus on.
Yeah.
Okay. As sales professionals specifically, or you could even relate this to marketing, but let me focus on the sales side.
Sure.
When we are out there talking to prospects, talking to potential prospects, they are not only comparing us against our direct competition, they are comparing us against every salesperson they have ever talked to. So the second that we start looking, sounding, talking, and acting like every other salesperson out there,
yeah,
that is the opposite of memorable. They will, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, they will lump us in with, well, I guess Jason's just like all these other salespeople.
Yep.
On the flip side, though, and this is where more on the being memorable, if you come in there and you are asking better questions than they've ever been asked, if you're making them think about things that they've never thought about before, if you are helping them uncover various pains or issues they didn't even know they had before you got there,
yep,
that is how you are memorable and set yourself apart. I say that, of course, any product or service that we offer, that should be a differentiator. But the very first differentiator should be their experience with our salespeople. Right? Their experience with us. When I have a client tell me that they brought on a new client and that client told them, this is the best sales call I've ever been a part of. That is a phenomenal compliment and way to be memorable.
Yeah.
So if you think that you are, you know, you're out there, you're just doing your thing and that you're different, maybe you're not. Right? Evaluate yourself. How are you engaging with your prospects? How are you really trying to uncover their world? How are you trying to see the world through their eyes? How are you trying to ask better questions than they've ever been asked and really understand what's happening? So in my opinion, what I do for myself and what I try to help my clients do is be memorable in the sense that it is the best sales interaction they've ever had.
Thank Thank you so much for listening to the Be Memorable podcast. I hope you took a ton of value from this episode. If you don't mind, please leave us a review. That helps us get the show out there. It also allows us to add more value to others. Thanks again.